On the record?
Good morning and welcome to the June 28th meeting of the Dubuque Landing National Historic Reserve Preservation Commission. The meeting is called to order at 10:07. I'm Commissioner Chair Carlson, and we'll start with roll call. Will each commissioner please state their name for the record?
Ron Van Dyke.
Christine Lovelady.
Stig Carlson.
Bob Clay. Ben Lovejoy.
An agenda was published and provided to the commission in advance of this meeting. Does any staff have any changes to the agenda?
I do. This is Sarah from the Dubuque Landing Historical Reserve. I'm going to be delaying the training that I was going to give today on history and compatibility until we have hopefully two new members seated. So I'm going to be aiming for August for this training.
Okay, so we will strike that item from the agenda. Does any commissioner wish to propose changes? Okay. Hearing none or and with that change, do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The agenda packet included minutes from the meeting of May 24th. I asked the commissioners to take a moment to review them. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
This morning we have two public hearings plus some old business. We will hear the items in the order that they have been published on the agenda. Please be aware that these proceedings will be recorded. I ask that all commissioners, staff, applicants, and audience members please speak into the microphone so that your comments can be preserved. These hearings will be held in accordance with the land use procedures required by the town, county, and the state of Washington. The Historic Preservation Commission's role is to determine on behalf of town or county whether a development proposal is consistent with the Eby's Landing National Historic Reserve Design Guidelines and the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation as applicable. If determined consistent, the Commission will grant or will recommend the granting of a certificate of appropriateness, which may include conditions to modify the proposal as the basis for a finding of consistency. The Commission's determination is based on the information provided in the application, staff's analysis of consistency with the design guidelines, and other information presented to the Commission through the hearing process. All testimony and evidence presented to the Commission should address applicable design guidelines or the Secretary of the Interior standards or provide contextual information through which consistency or lack of consistency can be understood. Prior to the meeting, staff has provided the Commission with the applications and staff's analysis of the items before us today. The hearing process will start with a presentation by staff, followed by questions to staff from the Commission. The applicant will then have the opportunity to augment, clarify, or rebut staff's comments and to respond to questions raised by the Commission. After the applicant's comments, interested parties may address the Commission regarding compliance with the guidelines and standards. Please be aware that you must sign the audience comment sheet or request or request to be a party of record to have standing for appeal. Any proponent, opponent, or other party interested in a land use matter to be heard by the Historic Preservation Commission may challenge the appearance of fairness of any commissioner to participate in such hearing and decision. Such challenge must state facts relied upon by the party relating to the commissioner's bias, prejudgment, personal interest, or other facts from which the party has concluded that the commissioner will not make a decision in an impartial manner. Failure to raise a challenge now will preclude an appeal based on that issue. Does any commissioner wish to declare a conflict based on personal interest or bias or to disclose any ex parte communication or a site visit? Does any member of the public wish to challenge a commissioner's impartiality? Hearing none, we shall proceed. I now open the hearing for file number COA-07118. Kevin Ivey from Martha Johnson, a new single family residence at 304 Haller Street, Coopville.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Owen Dennison with the Town of Coopville. This is this proposal is within the Town of Coopville. The location is shown on the screen. It is within Review Area 1. The site is currently vacant. It is a 5,000 square foot lot. It is one of the 1883 lots created with the subdivision of the Coopville, original Coopville plat. It's 50 feet along the street with a depth of 100 feet. The context is all single family on existing development is all single family. It's adjacent to Haller Street. So this is a view of the site from Haller Street. There is some grade change from south to north. In all likelihood, this will result in a requirement for either steeper slopes along the site boundaries, terraces, retaining wall, something which is not particularly addressed in the application. And staff does not believe that there will be doesn't anticipate any conflicts with the guidelines as a result, but just something to keep in mind as you're sort of envisioning how this will sit on the site. So this is the site plan as submitted. It is a 28 by 52 foot footprint. There is an 18 by 20 foot shop that is proposed or identified on the site plan. There were no elevations provided for this, and staff therefore has regarded this as outside the current application. It would require coming back for a further application in the future. There is a wheelchair access, providing access to doors on either side of the building. Parking is located directly in front of the building, mid-site. Staff finds that there's a conflict with the guidelines that state that parking should not be in front of the building and that expanses of concrete or hardscape should not be directly in front. And therefore, you'll note that one of staff's recommended conditions of approval would be to offset the parking to the north or the south so that the parked vehicles are not blocking the view of the structure. This is the photos of the houses immediately on the same side of on the same block, immediately north and south in the packet. This is a view of the house immediately across the street. It was reviewed by the commission in 2016. These are just a couple others from the vicinity. There are give you an idea of the sort of the context. There are both one and two story houses in the vicinity. These are two one story with hip roofs. This is an illustration of the proposed house. It is a manufactured home and by state law. The manufactured homes are required to be approved where consistent with any standards that would apply, guidelines or standards that would apply to any site-built home. This is the front view. The materials are composition roofing. You see the gable roof. It is cement fiber siding, vertically oriented except around the doorway, which will be horizontally oriented. Staff understands the windows will be vinyl. Oops. And, sorry, touchy today. This is the street-facing facade as proposed. There are, it is a 28-foot blank wall. Oh, I'm sorry. I would also note that there is a, very touchy, the entry is identified with a projecting gable. Since it will not be facing the street, there is other identification for it. So, as shown in this view. Because it is a blank wall facing the public street, staff is recommending as a condition of approval that at least one pair of windows, similar to those on the front side, be required on this street-facing facade. Staff has discussed this with the applicant, and the applicant has no concerns about this modification. So the applicant was unable to get a rendering of the design of the rear side. This is a floor plan, so you can see that there will be two sets of the same windows, the same paired windows that you saw on the front facade. There will be a high, horizontally oriented, smaller window in the master bath, the same as you saw on the front facade for the secondary bathroom. There will be a door, a man door, and there is the identification for the window types indicate that they are the same as on the front, except that over the sink, which is staff assumes will be something closer to a square window, since the horizontal dimension is the same, appears to be the same as other windows shown. But this is some speculation. So the guidelines applicable to all new residential buildings are that they be similar in character, but distinguished from historic structures within the reserve, that the scale massing form materials, windows, detailing, and roof line are similar to surrounding development. In staff's view, both the first two are met. The roof type is required to be either hip or gable. This will have a gable roof, an identifiable entry. The entry will be on either the north or south side. It's not exactly clear where the orientation of the front of the house will be, but it will have an identifiable entry, and there will be a pedestrian path leading to it. As discussed, parking areas should not be located immediately in front of the building, and therefore staff has a recommended condition of approval to offset the parking. And finally, as we discussed with many of these, that any exterior utility equipment should be adequately screened from the street and placed in a side yard. So the recommended conditions of approval start with a condition based on the lack of information, lack of specificity on the design of the rear. This merely says that the materials and design of the rear will mirror the front of the house. Not exactly. We're assuming that the entry gable will not appear on the rear over the rear door, but that it have the same vertically oriented cement fiber surface material. The windows will be similar, and that if there are changes, or if there are elements or features that are not reflected on the front facade, that those would require approval in writing for consistency with the guidelines. Second, as noted, that the street-facing facade will have at least one pair of windows, and those will be comparable to the hung windows shown on the front facade. The driveway would be offset either north or south to increase the exposure of the building when vehicles are parked in the parking, in the driveway. And finally, the exterior mechanical equipment will be screened. And that concludes staff's presentation.
I have a question. Can you point to any other single-family residences where the entry is on the side versus facing the street?
Yes. I'm trying to think of one that has recently gone through the Historic Preservation Commission, but the Historic Reserve Committee has reviewed and approved others. There are the guidelines specify that if they are not on the, if they are not facing the street or on a street-facing facade, then they must be some elements, porch element or something, to clarify where the entry is to make that clear from the street.
Owen, I think somewhere in your report you indicate this is the first manufactured home in the town limits. Is that correct?
That's outside of a manufactured home park. That is my understanding. And of course, HBC has reviewed applications for manufactured homes on platted lots or on individual lots elsewhere in the reserve. But as far as staff knows, this is the first one within the town limits.
Thank you.
I believe there is one other one, the Dingstad residence on Broadway. That was probably put in there, gosh, it's been 20 years ago, so it's well established. But I'm sure it was manufactured home.
And I spoke with the neighbor to the south who said that her house was a modular home. It was factory built in sections, so not exactly the same as a manufactured home, but it was not site built.
Okay, any other questions for staff? Is the applicant here? Our applicant's representative? Oh, hi. Would you like to address the commission at all, or?
Sure, I do. I'm not sure much of the design of it.
But would you please step up to the podium there, and if you wouldn't mind signing in there too. Supplement staff's report?
No.
Okay.
I've been in touch with Owen with questions and everything, so.
Do the changes that he's suggested, are those all acceptable?
Oh, yeah.
To you?
The window was one, and then the driveway, moving that to the side, was another that came up, so.
Yeah.
And the applicant, she's, she knows about that, and she's willing to do those things to make it right. Make it in compliance with everything.
Great. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to be heard on this project?
After I'm done talking. I just have a quick question. I live in the modular home that Owen referred to. And one of my concerns, and which you addressed a little bit, was would there be bulkheads today, you mentioned. My property has been leveled and filled. So there's a 3-foot drop just inside my back property. My concern is a little bit what happens to all the groundwater now that's going to be hitting their roof. And one thing I didn't ask you on is, are there gutters that then direct that water, or is it just a trench collecting groundwater and taking it toward the street, or are there gutters that are on the structure?
May I respond, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, please do.
So any new development is required, pardon me, to meet the standards in the 2014 Department of Ecology Stormwater Manual, Management Manual for Western Washington, which requires on-site stormwater management. So the stormwater will be collected from impervious surfaces and directed to either an infiltration trench or rain garden, and any overflow will be taken to the storm sewer main within the street, and that will be taken. Any overflow will be taken to that. So it will be managed on site, and then any discharge from that or surcharge will be directed to the town's organized stormwater system.
Yeah, and I think the town's organized, I don't know everything, but is on my corner.
There's a main, I believe, in Holler, and it would
Yes,
for public works people.
Yeah, okay. So it isn't mandatory to have gutters. You just got to handle the water after it hits the ground.
It would need to be directed, I believe. I can't tell you specifically whether gutters are a code requirement, but any runoff would need to be directed to an on-site management system.
Okay. And then the other thing, I just want to clarify with you, because we talked about the difference between what used to be called manufactured and what is manufactured. Is this structure state inspected on site where it is built, or is just the factory inspected to see if they're building? That used to be one of the differences between modular and manufactured, and I understand that terminology could be changed.
It's my understanding that this would be that it is certified by a state Department of Labor and Industries. I'm not aware that they conduct site visits, that once it hits the site, it would be.
But the wiring and all that is inspected before the walls are closed in.
It must be certified. It must be LNI certified to qualify as a HUD certified manufactured home.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else from the public like to be heard? Not, we'll close the public comments and open it up for discussion. Commission? Anybody have any further comments? Someone like to make a motion?
I will so move that COA 071-18 be approved as presented.
Including the conditions?
Yes, including the list of conditions.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Yes. Next item on the agenda is EBY 18025, John Roberts for Jihad. I'm saying that right. And James Udall, southeast corner of Ocean Bluff Lane and Darst Road. It's a new single family residence.
I So the adults are proposing a new single-family residence. Let's the site is located west of West Beach Road, north of Sierra Subdivision. It has views from the Santa Fica Straits. And it's located on the southeast corner of Darce Road and Ocean Bluff Road. Both lanes are private, both roads are private roads. The lot is vacant with existing grass. The applicant proposes the house to be within the closest, very close to their west, I'm sorry, east boundary, off, and access would be off of Darce Road. This would be the north elevation, which you would see from Darce Road, and the west elevation, east and south elevations as shown. And what staff's review of the application as is listed in the staff report, there's two issues that staff and the committee has come up with, not come up with, but found. And one is the location of the building being on the center of the west and east visual view. So when you're coming through West Beach Road and driving through West Beach Road, you can see past this field and past this vacant lot and see these houses and see the views of the water. And as the applicant is proposing, this house would be right in the middle of that, and you would miss some of the views of the water. Staff recommends moving the house closer to Darce Road to help keep some of that visual views, view sheds. And the second concern that was mentioned was the blank wall on the north elevation towards Darce Road. Staff recommends that the applicant provide a few windows to break up this large facade. And looking at the rest of the conditions that were outlined so well in Owen's presentation, staff finds that this proposal meets the massing of the and style of the surrounding properties and makes the two recommendations for two conditions. As part of the building permit application, the windows would be added to the Darce Road elevation, and then a new site plan would show the house closer to Darce Road, and I'm available for any questions.
Can you go back to the aerial photograph that has the site plan overlay? Approximately how far are we from West Beach Road? Do you know?
I know this is a 12-acre parcel, but I didn't actually measure the distance. And then this is a 2-acre parcel.
Is the
So I'm guessing 800 feet.
Is there fairly significant grade change from West Beach Road down to the subject property?
It's pretty flat. And then the three houses, and then there's a cliff.
Mr. Chairman, there is a significant decline in Darce Road.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I guess my question to staff in terms of the siting of the property, it seems to me that the views from West Beach Road, just from my recollection of driving along the road, would be over the top of this house.
Yeah.
When, and I apologize, I was meant to go out to site visits, but every time I did, a vehicle was not available for me. when I drive through, I can see most of the front of the houses that are along there.
Right. I guess I'm just questioning whether or not the condition to shift the house, well, I'm not sure how far we're talking, you know, 50 feet or so to the north, really will have the kind of impact that you're suggesting it would in terms of views from West Beach Road.
And I'm going to pass this question on to Sarah, too. I know she had more to say.
Good morning. This is Sarah Steen from News Landing Historical Reserve. Especially in areas that have large expanses of land, we were really sensitive to maintaining the openness of that viewshed. So it's not just that we're trying to avoid looking at buildings, but we're trying to keep them out in the middle of lots. We're trying to cluster them around already things that are already developed, like roads or other buildings. That's the end goal of the guidelines that address this, and that's something that we're pretty sensitive of, especially in open areas. So the thinking is rather than, we could either move it left, according to what we're looking at here, toward the houses that are there, or up toward the road. And it seemed, given their design, that moving it up toward the road or something that is already developed would answer that interest in clustering to try to keep it out of the expanse that we're looking at. And it can make a big difference. Anyone who looks across the prairie and sees, you know, the clustering of houses, the clustering, you can tell in relation to ridge lines where they are, in relation to other buildings where they are. And you can also see ones that are not clustered, that especially going down like Engle Road, the ones that are sitting in the middle of each of their large lots, and see some of the issues that we're dealing with that. So we're really working to keep kind of the expanse, any contiguous land open for the viewshed, so we try to keep things clustered toward pre-developed sites.
So
that was the reasoning.
Okay, so the issue is more clustering rather than the view from West Beach Road.
Yeah, we're trying to associate it with something that's already, it kind of minimizes the impact on the viewshed.
I have a question. It appears to me that the placement of the house by the applicant is to take advantage of whatever water view they can get from that lot.
Typically.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily expect moving it up like 50 feet or 100, just moving it closer to the road so the visual to it is more clustered would severely impact their view. But our function is to consider their impact on the landscape, and that's why we're making that recommendation as staff.
Are there any other questions for staff?
Could you go back to the previous slide, please? What is the property to the south of this property? What's the story on that? Is it vacant or what?
Yes, it's currently vacant.
Is it buildable?
I'm only assume, I'm not for sure. To make it buildable, they would have to show that they have adequate water and adequate soils for septic systems. But since there's other development around that would make logic that they would have that capacity to build.
I guess the only reason I'm asking that is, what do we do when somebody comes in next week and wants to build a house on that piece? Where do we put it?
If we're following the same clustering logic, there are probably a couple places on that lot to put it. You can either put it on the south end next to the house that's already built,
yeah.
Or you could put it more to the south. West, next to the houses that are already built. But it'd be the same theme,
yeah.
To try to cluster new construction near stuff that's already there.
Do you know the zoning and the development potential for the lot to the east?
The lot to the east is in the rural zoning district, and it's 12 acres, so potentially they could come in and subdivide it to two lots.
in real trouble with the cluster.
One thing at a time.
All right, any other questions for staff? All right, is the applicant or applicant's representative here?
Good morning, my name is John Roberts and I'm representing James and Gian Udall with this particular project. I guess the first thing I want to note is I was just handed the facts and findings as I entered the room this morning, so I've had a very quick opportunity to make a bunch of notes. So I guess I'd like to address the site location. I have a fair amount of knowledge about the whole entire area. So the large parcel to the east, the parcel to the south below it that has a pond on it and a home, and the small rectangular parcel at the bottom of the page, and additional parcels to the south that are not in the picture were all owned by the Darst family, hence the Darst Road name, as are all the parcels to the north. So from a development standpoint, you are correct that two residences could go on the larger parcel. The small rectangle has the ability, all these parcels perk. All these parcels already have their own, either a well that serves them and or a water hookup from the community water system, which this parcel is currently hooked up to. The parcel directly south of this subject, again, is developable as well. I've also done perk tests on that lot. I agree with your notes that from West Beach, yes, you will see this home as you will see all the homes to the west. However, part of the idea in the design of this home was a single family residence, one story, as opposed to most of the homes on the water are one and a half or two stories, simply as Commissioner Clay said, to take advantage of the view that they're looking out of the Straits of Juana Fuca. Additionally, where the word Darst Road is, that's Lavender Wind Farm. Sarah Richards owns that, and that looked exactly like the land below it when she purchased it. So you can see what a person can do in development of a home with, I mean, it's a gorgeous piece of property with screening, with trees, with plants and whatnot. So in addressing the north elevation, having the lack of windows, which I want to come back to, but I would suggest that we use some form of screening as opposed to adding windows. Because the idea also with this home is, the theme is really ultra energy efficiency. So putting windows on a north elevation of a house, it goes completely against all green building rules. There's no sunshine on that side, and therefore you're just basically putting a sucking hole in the side of a home. So if the side of the home is unsightly, I would rather that we make some form of a condition that has to do with using some form of screening, which is in the code language that could be used. Again, back to the site location itself, clustering, if you will. I don't see the value of pulling it closer to Darst Road when the home directly above it is in the middle of its parcel. And again, we're not in the middle of the parcel. We're actually in the, I would almost call it the northeast quadrant of it, with regards to the parcel itself. And the reason for that location is twofold. One, there's a fair amount of fill material that was put on this property when the county did the work on West Beach Road. And so that is the location that they're placing the home to take advantage of maybe another 4 or 5 feet of elevation on the property. There is a fair amount of slope from West Beach all the way to Ocean Bluff. Got to be at least 4 to 5% grade change all the way down. So my concern with regards to the view shed and clustering, I think I've made a fairly firm case as to why with regards to that. And the condition about the windows on the north elevation, I would rather suggest some form of screening, and I don't object to that being a condition, as opposed to placing windows in an elevation to place windows in an elevation. One other quick thought. You did make reference to the square footage and the size of the house. So this, compared to all those homes that are directly west of it, the home south of it, and certainly the home north of it, this would be the smallest structure in all of those particular, and as a single family residence. So try to take into account mass and scale with regards to the design and the fact that it is located where it is.
John, can you tell me what the square footage actually is? I didn't find it in the application.
It's the home is 1,802 square feet, I believe. Sorry, Sarah, it's 2,033 square feet.
John, in looking at the site plan you submitted, there are no dimensions on it, but it is scaled 1 to 60, and as close as I can tell, it looks like the home is approximately, what would that be? That would be 60, 90 feet from Darst Road, is that right?
I would say it's probably 105 feet, if I remember, from the measurements I took. And Darst Road, as I indicated in the site plan, Darst Road actually is an easement on this piece of property, but 105 feet, I believe, from the center line of Darst Road.
Okay. In that case, there would be plenty of room for screening that side.
Well, and again, that's kind of like, I've built a number of these homes, so if you go to the home on the corner of Darst and West Beach Road, which you cannot see because they have completely decided to encapsulate their house in the trees that surround the structure. And when you go to the Lavender Wind Farm next door, Sarah has incorporated her lavender business and other plantings throughout, including a lot of shore pine and things of that nature. As you get further out towards the bluff, that becomes less. Other than the home directly to the north, and you can see it in this overview, there's a fair amount of landscaping around that house. It's a pretty good sized structure, but it, you know, screening helps. I understand that. I mean, it's been in, prior to us rewriting this code, it was one of the things in the original documentation that was used quite often, particularly homes that were, you know, highly viewed from the corridor of Highway 20 or things of that nature. So everything that was built on Grasser's Hill all has some type of a screening element into its conditions.
Besides the fact that you're trying to locate this in the fill area, were there other reasons for locating it, the house, where it is?
I would say that the first guiding light was the fill material. The second was the view shed available. So it, you know, this, the slope of the lot is not just to the west, it's also sort of to the south. So it affords the ability to look not over, but, you know, past the homes in front of it. And then third, when somebody buys more than an acre lot, they tend to want to have a little bit of reach around them. So that flies against the code rules in terms of conditions asked. You know, that's part of the reason. Although you'll see we snug the property line instead of putting it in the middle of the parcel to try to compensate for that.
So the distance that's set off of Darst Road is really just for some privacy from the road?
Correct.
John, could you indicate again on north elevation where we were discussing adding some more windows, and you said you didn't want to do that because of, what is it?
Well, basically, you know, you can build a house, and I and a number of builders choose to build in a manner that tries to take advantage of the fact that a home, number one, should last for 100 years or more, but it also shouldn't be something that you just go about it without thinking about the science of building. And one of the guiding rules is to try to use as much passive solar heat as possible, using the sunshine to heat the house. Windows on the north side, particularly in more northern climates, are not highly suggested because you're not going to get any solar gain out of them, and therefore they've just become, you know, you walk past a window, what do you feel? You feel cold, because that's just the way it is.
And supposedly you wouldn't have a problem with screening that portion?
No, in fact, I had talked to my applicant. Yeah, I had talked to my applicant about that with regards to the fact that I knew that this would come up on my site plan. I've shown, you know, some, that, as Michelle indicated, there's not a tree on this piece of property, and I've indicated clusters of trees. Now, it's just an indication, but, you know, thinking that as a condition, which comes directly out of our code book, that could be used.
Although I understand why staff's concern is there to break up that mass with a window, I guess it's not going to be, with the right screening, I don't think it's going to be a big issue in this particular location. I do tend to agree with staff as my mind plays out where potential other home sites could be placed in and around this piece. So I tend to kind of agree with staff on the grouping aspect and moving it closer to Darst Road so that eventually, as you get development south of the property and east of the property, you place those strategically so you still have this nice open view shed down that slope onto the west coast. So I guess I have a concern there, and I would agree with staff's recommendation for that particular grouping or clustering effect.
know, I call, every time I look at this particular area, I've called it, nickname is, see who can build the biggest garages and how many, because that's sort of the character of the area. And so it doesn't bother me to see that there's an RV garage attached on one end and at least two other garages. That's part of the character of this area. I don't totally agree with moving the site plan from what it's shown because it does take advantage of some work that was done on Darst Road before, and the dirt was dumped on there, and so there's fill which could raise the property up a little bit. And you know, view is important to these residences. So, and I don't know what you're going to get moving it closer to Darst Road. How much closer can you go? You don't want to put a house this big, you know, right smack dab up next to the property line. So,
I think there's some room to move. You can see from the houses just north that they're actually fairly close to Darst Road, but for the vegetation that's screening.
Yeah.
And Lavender Wind is a good example. So I think you can get a little bit out of it. I guess what, in fairness to the applicant, I wouldn't want to preclude their ability to build a wonderful home and then not have a view. So is there a way to go out with the applicant to the site, staff and the applicant, and just assure that there is still the view if you do move it towards Darst Road?
I would say that's a little bit beyond our purview. We are mainly considering the guidelines that pertain to this. And I completely understand the interest in trying to balance the property owner's wishes with ours. But we're really looking at what the impact is on a larger scale on the landscape itself. And the guideline that I'm referring to is on page 34, relating to rural settings. And part of number one states that every effort should be made to avoid locating new construction in the middle of fields, on hill and ridgetops, or where it would be silhouetted against the sky. And I think with the slope of this area, we're avoiding the silhouetting against the sky, or even if it is slightly raised. But this view especially shows how little open land there is left on that side of West Beach. And so I think a keen interest here would be to make sure that we are doing what we can to maintain what there is, considering that our interests with the design guidelines. So that's why staff. And it might not seem like a huge deal, but I think just having a clustering philosophy or a viewshed philosophy is important to maintain, whether or not it's applicable in this situation or not. So that's why we said what we did.
I have a question. So how far should we move it?
It is now 100 feet away from the road, from what I understood from what John said. So our recommendation was just to move it closer to the road. Maybe you could use as a model the other, like Lavender Wind Farm and the other houses in the area, to move similar to how they have theirs related to the road. If you wanted to give a standard, that'd be a possibility.
What, is 5 feet closer?
Yeah, it's kind of subjective. I think that the concern is that there is the standard, and the philosophy of clustering makes a lot of sense from a planning perspective too. But I think there is room for compromise. So I don't want to just say absolutely move 50 feet towards Darst Road without actually somebody going out on the site and saying, you know, does that actually work? The clustering concept is there, but I guess I would leave it to staff and the applicant to come up with a compromise that allows for the applicant to get their view, but also ensures that to the greatest extent practicable, you can cluster it towards Darst Road. I don't think there should be an arbitrary move at 50% without looking first.
You do have the right to table this and have us all go out there and do a site visit. That is within your toolbox of what you can do as a commission.
Can I ask the applicant's representative to discuss what that tabling might do to the project time frame? are you feeling that it's worthwhile to go out and take a look and table it for the next, I think till August? I don't know that we're having a July meeting. We haven't got there yet.
This is the only thing that I'm waiting for in order to be able to submit for a building permit. So I suppose that there's some time within the, assuming I can apply for a building permit, which I believe that I can, because I have an active application. And you're saying it wouldn't be till end of August, right?
Well, with the staff, I kind of assumed that maybe August.
We're hopeful that we'll have another one or two additional commissioners on July meeting.
Okay, so maybe we have to wait.
So I would say that that's a possibility. Now, you mentioned Lavender Wind Farm, so, and I like what I hear, because you're thinking more than just trying to view something from an aerial from 10,000 feet. So the placement of Lavender Wind Farm, which I built, is up on the ridge. It actually flies against our code rules, but you wouldn't know that today because it was built 20-something years ago. It is close to Darst Road, because at Darst Road, it's the ground level's here, and then it falls down as it goes to the north. Had it been placed, you know, further back in the field, that would be similar to what we're talking about. I think every application is very unique. In that situation, the owners of that property planned to install a lavender farm. So their idea was to, number one, take advantage of the view. The house sits with a wonderful view of the Straits. It is close to Darst Road, so that they had the balance of it for farming. And the farmer that owned all this property was very happy about that at the time. The home directly to the east of it, if you look at the parcel, it sits on the edge of the trees. It takes advantage of all the things that we talk about within our code of trying to screen and whatnot, and it is heavily screened. You can only see the Nunn house by looking in the driveway access, and that's it, because it's so heavily screened. The further you get towards the water, you're now into open fields, and so it's, I think there's an opportunity for some compromise. If we're at 105 feet, you know, will 25 feet make a difference? If you think that it would, I think I could probably make that amendment today. My owners are not here, they're in Alaska, so that's why I'm representing them. But the intention is we expect to have a building permit by early to mid-August.
Well, the clustering becomes an issue more for the viewshed from West Beach Road. So clearly the houses on the bluff are smaller lots, and they're there. There's nothing we can do. But the clustering would allow for that viewshed to come from West Beach Road, across that big expanse of open field down to the southern part of your applicant's property, and leave that open. And in future, homes could be clustered more towards Darst Road, or the one to the south could be clustered around this one. Or the one to the further south.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the viewshed is protected if you do move it closer to Darst Road, and you can have that swath going down to the coast. What that needs to be, I mean, there's two ways to work this out, is to delay it and a site visit, and I don't know how many of the commissioners will be up for that. Or we can leave it to staff to work out a compromise that still allows for that viewshed. I think there's some space to work with.
Like I said, I think that, you know, if I had to say we amend the site plan by 25 feet, which is 25% of what was asked for, I probably could do that today. Beyond that, I think I'd have to go back to my applicants and...
Well, let's continue discussing. I think I've got an idea.
Can we go back to the site plan? Okay. Well, this doesn't include the entire site.
Yeah.
But just looking at the site, the printed site plan you gave me, and dividing it into quadrants, we are so close to what I would consider a reasonable attempt at clustering. It seems to me that John can work with staff work this out. If I if I just scale the drawing and create, you know, four quadrants, the midpoint north to south of the property runs pretty much right through, we're within like 5 or 10 feet of the southern side of the home. So it seems to me that this issue of clustering, as long as it's sort of up in that northwest or northeast quadrant, is meeting the guideline, or at least coming close. I mean, I don't think it's really reasonable for us to ask them to push the building all the way up to the setback line. Personally, on a property of this size, particularly when you look at the size of the other properties around, and I know we're only supposed to consider what's in front of us, but I can't help but think of the future development that's going to go in there.
Well, I think.
Oh, ladies first.
I think there's room for staff to actually go out to the site with the applicant and figure out what Stig's suggesting. I don't know that we have to be right on top of Darst Road, but I think a site visit just, there's no substitute for that. And I think it's important. You'll probably see it when you get there. It's probably pretty evident.
John, is the septic in yet?
No, it is not.
I'd like to make a couple of comments, if I may. One, and this is a personal opinion, but I think it's a very nice and appropriate design for that area. It certainly fits into a rural setting, and because of the existing barns that are nearby, this sort of ties in with that farm-like cluster. And I don't know if I didn't hear it or what, but on this fill, how many feet high is that from, say, the west facing on there? Is it 3 feet higher than the existing field to the west?
Probably. It probably only averages about 3 feet. I'd say at the very highest, it would be 5 feet, but then it tails back into the property. So, no. I'm using an average of 4 feet of where I would be starting the southern build at.
And as far as this large expanse of wall there, I certainly agree with John's and the other folks here. Notion that screening would certainly cover that large expanse, and since there has been a lot of vegetation in that area planted around various buildings and they blend in better, I see no need for imposing windows in that wall. All in all, I really am impressed with this whole project, and certainly I'm always open for site visits if the other commissioners would care to, but I'm personally satisfied that it meets most of the criteria that we go along with. Anyway, those are a lot of my personal comments, and I would say excellent project. So moved that we endorse EBY 18-025 with the addition of the recommendations, and that it be accepted as is, other than the screening and I see no other things that we would have to request.
So just as a clarification, Ron, staff was recommending as part of the conditions addition of windows on that wall. You're suggesting rather than windows, the condition of screening.
That's correct.
As well as the condition of moving it farther to the north?
Well, I think it depends on that fill, and that's why that would be the only reason I would request a site visit, just to get a feeling of how that structure will fit into that area. I don't recall that fill. I've gone by there all my life, and it's something apparently fairly recent that was added there. And if someone is able to take advantage of that additional elevation to get a little better view, I'd be all for that.
So I'm just trying to clarify the
motion.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So your motion would include the requirement for screening, but not include the requirement for moving it to the north?
And not requiring windows.
No.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand the motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion on that? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
I would say nay, but mostly to encourage the more clustering. Since I'm in the minority, I guess it doesn't matter.
So it passes 4-1. Are the conditions clear with the staff? Okay. Training, which Sarah said that we were going to delay until almost possibly August. And the last thing we have is the old business SB 124-17, request for special evaluation.
Mr. Chair, we talked about this, or the staff briefed the commission on this at the May meeting. This was an application for special evaluation that was submitted in October of 2017. It came to it was closer to a complete application December 1st of 2017, and it came to the commission at the December meeting. And so the staff has been working through some issues with the applicant. To staff's surprise, in May of 2018, the applicant notified staff that they were withdrawing the application. There was no further explanation. Staff had hoped to convince them otherwise, to continue to maintain, to stay with the process, particularly since it appeared we were so close. Staff is and offered to meet with staff with we offered to meet with them and discuss any issues or just to figure out why they had withdrawn it. Staff has been unable to make contact, and therefore just for the record, we want to clarify that the application is now considered withdrawn and fully expired and will not be returning for the commission's consideration. And it's staff does consider this very unfortunate that it is the process was not allowed to continue to its completion. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm disappointed. Yeah, I'm disappointed.
And staff shares that.
Okay. I think that's it. Meeting adjourned.